This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. When Alan Page was a star defensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings in the 1970s, he was also attending law school full-time. He went on to become Minnesota's first African-American Supreme Court justice. Next Monday, Justice Page will be the keynote speaker at the annual La Crosse area Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Celebration. I recently talked with the Hall of Fame defensive lineman from his office in St. Paul. I asked Justice Page to preview what he will be talking about during his speech Monday night at Viterbo University's Fine Arts Center.
Generally, I'm going to be reflecting on issues of race, which seem to me to be a natural discussion point when talking about Dr. King. And I think tied into that, how we deal with issues of race, how race impacts us, the impact that our education system, the implications of that in race, the importance of ensuring that every child, no matter what race, ethnicity, what background they come from, that they be given the best possible opportunity to learn, not just for their benefit, but because children really are the future.
And I want to talk about your education foundation in a little bit, but do you think that our society currently does a good job talking about race?
Not at all. We basically don't talk about race. And when we do, we talk around it, we talk by it, we don't engage it directly. We don't talk much about how we deal with issues of race. We point fingers. We complain about someone said A, B, or C, but we don't get much beyond that.
In your mind, if someone was to talk about race and beyond the presentation you'll be giving, you know, what sort of elements should people have when they do have a discussion about race? Because, you know, sometimes you have people who are scared they're going to be offensive, or some may say they're being too blunt, you know, and it's just interesting because it doesn't seem like anyone seems to really know. How can we properly talk about race?
Well, I focused on talking about it, but really the question is, what do we do about it? And I think from my experience and from my sense, what we have to do about it first is look internally and understand our own views, our own actions, our own conduct as it relates to race. Ensure that we as individuals are accepting people as they are, not as some preconceived notion of what we think they should be based on their race. We have to look at the individual and make determinations about the individual and not about the group. It seems to me that when we do that, then the conversation becomes at least one where we're all operating sort of from the same perspective. That is, from the perspective of, you know, I'm sensitive to these issues. I care about these issues, and I'm going to make sure that whatever I do, say, act, however I act, I do it consciously and not unconsciously.
At this annual celebration, it's a celebration that highlights some positive efforts in the community, but there's generally some challenges that are addressed and different speakers that challenge people to improve themselves, but also just to improve as a community. So it will be interesting, I think, for people to hear your thoughts and how you challenge people to behave differently.
I'm a firm believer that each of us and all of us have the ability to bring about change, and that, as I say, that change begins with us. And when we all engage in that, I think it's surprising how things can and do change.
I wonder, Justice Page, did you ever have a chance to meet Dr. King?
I never did. No, I did not.
And, you know, during the mid-60s, I guess you were studying, you were playing football at the University of Notre Dame, you were studying political science. Were you involved in politics or the civil rights movement during the 60s?
Not directly. Certainly, I was involved in it from the standpoint that as an African-American male, you couldn't help be concerned and voice your opinions, but in a public way, no.
Have you ever considered yourself an advocate?
An advocate?
Of civil rights. I've always been curious how, especially someone like a Supreme Court justice is able to walk that fine line between law and advocacy, especially when it comes to issues like civil rights.
Well, the role that our courts play, I guess let me put it this way. I'm an advocate for equal justice. And in a judicial system, both at the state level and on the national level, that has not always provided equal justice for persons of color, I guess in that sense, I probably am an advocate. And when I say equal justice, I mean equal justice for all, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a person of color or not, whether you're abled or disabled, whatever your background, you come into our court system and you're entitled to equal justice. And we've done some studies here in Minnesota and other states around the country have that show categorically that equal justice has not always been available to persons of color.
Do you think that that's improving? I know we have a long way to go. I guess I'll say that.
That's the point. Obviously, we've made great strides. We no longer have state-sponsored apartheid. Brown versus the Board of Education started us down the road in the legal sense of equality. But we've got a long, long way to go, and particularly in our judicial system. And we've made some progress there, but we still have a long way to go.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guest today is Justice Alan Page. He's an Associate Justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court, as well as a celebrated National Football League Hall of Famer. He'll be the keynote speaker at the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Community Celebration at Viterbo University on January 20th. I wonder if now is a good time to talk about education. This is obviously something extremely important to you. In some ways, it is a social justice issue.
Well, it is directly tied to race.
Sure.
The failures of our education system as it relates to children of color is astounding. And it's on some levels disheartening because education is the one tool, or is not the one tool, but is one tool that can allow anyone to overcome the disadvantages that come with being a person of color, that manifest themselves with respect to race. Education is a tool that will allow you to overcome poverty, will assist you in overcoming discrimination. It is just one of those things that will allow everyone to be full participants in our society. And when we leave so many children behind, and not just children of color, but lots of children from all backgrounds, but particularly disproportionately, I should say, children of color, it's a major problem.
And we're still seeing huge achievement gaps, not just here in Wisconsin, not just in
Minnesota
but across the
nation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you and your wife, Diane, have set up one tool to at least try to address the disparities. the two of you established the Page Education Foundation in 1988. I'm wondering if you can talk about that, and you just celebrated your 25th anniversary last year. So maybe why you decided to start that foundation and maybe where you're at now.
Well, the reason we decided to start it comes out of our belief that education is one of those tools that can help anyone succeed. My recognition a long time ago that many of the problems we see in the conflict between athletics and academics are really academic problems and not athletic problems. Coupled with my legal background and defending when I was in practice, being involved in either defending state agencies or bringing discrimination claims, and seeing the role that education played in all that, seeing the role that education plays with respect to our prison population. There's a direct correlation between educational achievement and incarceration rates. And it seems to me that we can do something about that, and we can do better than what we've done. So we decided, from the time I started playing football as a freshman in high school, been put on this pedestal and been asked to talk to young children about the importance of education. As a football player, I'm one person can reach only so many people. And we came up with the idea that if we could finance the education of many young people, they could become advocates for education. And so we came up with the idea to motivate, encourage, and assist young men and women of color to pursue their education beyond high school. We do that two ways. One, by providing financial assistance. We call them paid scholars. We provide renewable financial grants. But two, we require our grant recipients to go back into the community where they come from, back into the community where they go to school, work with young children kindergarten through eighth grade, specifically in the area of education, as tutors, mentors, and role models. That way, we can expand the impact. Not only that, we can show those kindergarten through eighth graders, by both word and deed of our paid scholars, someone who is using education as a tool to achieve their hopes and dreams. And thereby inspire those young children to take education seriously.
And have many of those younger children gone on to receive Page Education Foundation scholarships once they've graduated high school?
We have big goals and objectives, and we do a lot. We have, over the years, we're approaching something in excess of 6,000 paid scholars, but we only have 3 employees at the foundation. And so we haven't tracked that as well as we could. We've had some paid scholars who've been mentored by paid scholars, but we have, as I say, over the years, 6,000 plus young men and women who have been an inspiration for those young children. And I think it's pretty clear that whether people who have been mentored by scholars or tutored by scholars, whether or not they someday become scholars, that they are impacted by our scholars.
6,000 students, that's a gigantic impact, I would think.
Exactly. And, you know, you multiply, just being very conservative, if I can reach 10 students, you know, 6,000 people can reach 60,000 students. And the multiplier effect is tremendous.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Justice Alan Page has served on the Minnesota Supreme Court since 1993. This came after a 15-year pro football career. And he'll be in La Crosse on January 20th as the keynote speaker at this year's Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Community Celebration at Viterbo University. I'm wondering, Justice Page, what are some of the other major civil rights or social justice issues today, in your mind, beyond education?
The ones that were there 30 years ago, we still have tremendous issues with discrimination that impacts the disabled. Clearly, the hot topic of the day is sexual orientation discrimination. There are still issues of age discrimination. Sadly, as I say, we've made progress. I don't mean to suggest that we haven't made tremendous progress. We have. But we've still got so very, very far to go.
And what role does a state Supreme Court play in addressing these issues?
When cases come before us, we have to sort out what the rules, if you will, that we're going to play by are. Those cases, those kinds of cases are in front of us all the time. It's important that as judges, justices on the Supreme Court, that we do everything we can to ensure that the case that comes in front of us is dealt with fairly, properly, and so that our decisions can be accepted by the people who they impact, and they impact all of us. And I should note that in talking about the civil rights issues of our time, we are still dealing with issues of gender discrimination. They haven't gone away either.
One thing that I found very interesting about you and race and your family is I had read an article about how you and your wife have a collection of Jim Crow era memorabilia. And one of the things that it said in this article was that you want to be constantly reminded about the past. Can you talk about that? And do you still have all that memorabilia in your family living room?
I have some of it here in my chambers.
What do you have in your chambers?
I'm looking at a sign that says colored waiting room. It wasn't so long ago that those signs, those kinds of signs, hung in restaurants, in stores, in train stations. And I don't think we can afford to forget that, to recognize that as a society, we have not always treated all of our members fairly. And so for me, this is a reminder as I go through the work that I do to make sure that I do treat everyone fairly, whether they're a person of color or not, whether they're wealthy or not, you know, wherever they come from. Everybody is entitled to the same treatment.
Beyond being a reminder to yourself, do you feel like others have maybe learned a lesson from the collection that you own?
The collection isn't on display, so I don't know how many people have seen it, but certainly it is a reminder for all of us.
Alan Page is an Associate Justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court, as well as celebrated National Football League Hall of Famer. He's a keynote speaker at the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Community Celebration at Viterbo University on January 20th. Justice Page, I want to finally just ask you, how familiar are you with the Wisconsin Supreme Court and its elections? Some consider this a social justice issue in its own sense, the way that money has played a role in elections here, and some say special interest groups are having more of an influence in elections than they should. Do you follow what's going on here in Wisconsin, and do you feel that Minnesota experiences similar issues?
I won't pick on my friends from Wisconsin, but I will say that it is an issue that we here in Minnesota face. We don't face it in the same way, at least currently, that they do in Wisconsin. And it's not just a Wisconsin issue. It's an issue across the country that there are those who want to be able to buy justice, if you will. They want to be able to buy results. That is something that is anathema to a democracy. If the people we serve think that justice is for sale, that our decisions are predicated on the highest bidder, then they have no reason to bring their disputes to court. They can just as well decide them in the streets. Ultimately, it is an issue that will determine how well our democracy survives, how we deal with the influence of money and the judicial selection process. And quite frankly, it's very challenging. Not remembering precisely, I think it was Alabama, it might have been Mississippi, but I think it was the 2008 election cycle. There was some organization from Virginia that spent roughly $815,000 either the Alabama or Mississippi Supreme Court election. What some organization from Virginia, what interest they might have in a Alabama or Mississippi election, I don't know, but I don't think they spent that money out of the kindness of their hearts. That's a problem. That is a problem. I say, if people perceive that we are open to the highest bidder, we're all in trouble.
Alan Page is a Pro Football Hall of Famer and Minnesota's first African-American Supreme Court justice. He will be the keynote speaker Monday night at La Crosse's annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Celebration. The event starts at 7 at Viterbo University's Fine Arts Center. The event is free and open to the public. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll talk about Sunday's move into a new hospital wing at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, extended interviews, and photos can be found on our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.